Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Every Wednesday afternoon, we have an expert here to answer your questions, to give you free advice. And today, I'm chatting to pet behaviourist and trainer Susie Walsh. Susie, good afternoon. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Not at all. We've loads and loads of questions coming in. If you have a question about how to put manners in your pup or your cat or your hamster or whatever it is that you have at home, it's 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number. Drop us a voice note. Give us a call, 1800 453 106. Every pet needs some kind of training, Susie?
Well, dogs for sure. Yeah, pretty much every dog. I don't think I've met a dog, including my own dog. They all need some form of training because they're coming into a human world and they're expected to live in our homes and like in busy cities or busy environments. So they're not born with those innate abilities to do that. So absolutely, they need some form of, you know, training and structure and boundaries and just to like get some guidance to let them know what, you know, you want them to do, or what they're not born with knowing what you want them
to do. You have to teach them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Same as we teach kids.
Now, this listener, we'll get into the questions. My dog is a mixed terrier, won't stop licking herself, us, the toddler, on the mouth. It's driving me mad. Any tips, please?
Actually, licking. So licking is a funny one. It can be sometimes a behaviour problem that's related to anxiety, but most frequently it's because actually the dog is feeling a little bit uncomfortable. And what the dog does is they lick to self-soothe or to make them feel self-soothe better. So the fact that your listener said they won't stop licking the dog itself would lead me to believe that maybe the dog has some gastro issues, some lower back pain, something like that. And generally what dogs will do then is they lick things to make them feel better. So I would check that dog out with the vet first.
So the dog needs a trip to the vet.
Yeah, the dog needs a trip to the vet. And after that, it'd be teaching the dog maybe a leave it. Very few people actually teach a no or a leave it actually formally and sit down and actually they just start to shout at their dog or say the word no to their dog, but actually don't sit down and take the time to train the dog. So that is something that I would do.
Okay. That's obviously through a trainer though, is it? You'd need to learn how to do that.
Or well, yeah, properly. And a qualified trainer. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there who aren't qualified. So always check the credentials of somebody who's prepared to train your dog.
Okay. My brother-in-law gives his dog streaky rashers among other human food. I think he shouldn't. What does your expert recommend? He doesn't stop doing this. Or does it matter?
Well, I don't call it human food. Food is food. So what I would say is I don't know if streaky rashers are the best thing for giving your dog because they're not the best thing for us eating ourselves. But generally speaking, it's good to give your dogs a variety of food once your dog can tolerate it. So if you have a dog, obviously, who has an allergy to something, obviously, that's important to be aware of that. But dogs can eat bland foods and fruits and vegetables and, you know, meats and fish. And it's actually really good for them. There's a study called the Golden Retriever Longevity Study, and it showed that actually they took 3,000 dogs. So big, big study. And 1,500 of them were fed just dog food and 1,500 of them fed dog food and fresh food. And guess who's outliving who? The ones with the fresh food are outliving the ones and far less cancer and things like that. So it is good to give your dog fresh food, but do be careful what it is. Streaker rashers probably wouldn't be my recommended on the top of that list, but you know, maybe some chicken, maybe some rice, potatoes, bananas, berries.
Watch the bones,
you know, and watch the bones.
My dad was a vet, and I recall, I don't know how many times people would come to the house at the weekends, particularly over Christmas, with
be really careful
the dog and the pup that had the chicken leg or the turkey bone or something, and it's incredible.
Yeah, because they'll just follow it whole and then... Yeah.
Mary has a dog who's 10 and has now recently started licking his paws on a regular basis. She looks fine in every other way, is in great form, but I'm wondering what could be causing it.
And again, licking front paws, I would say with that dog, I'm not a vet, I want to say, but I would say talk to your vet maybe about arthritis or some kind of discomfort in the lower back. We do have studies, a big famous study by Daniel Mills in the University of Lincoln. There's a massive link between pain and behaviour. And he actually has a chart on his research that says if your dog is licking their paws or if your dog is doing X, Y and Z, it might be one of these conditions.
Emer is planning on getting a puppy fairly soon. It's going to be their first family dog. Any book recommendations regarding training that we could read before we get the pup?
Oh, really good to do that. Yeah, there's some great resources. Actually, there's some great YouTube people, look like Zach George or Victoria Stillwell. You'll get some great YouTube videos in there. Again, make sure someone is qualified. And after that, I quite like the puppy book by Steve Mann. He has written a great puppy book. And do get in touch. The most important thing with getting a puppy is making sure you get the puppy from the right source and getting the right puppy for your home and the right breed for your home. So do talk to a professional before you purchase your puppy or you adopt a puppy, because that's when it goes can go wrong. It can go wrong from the beginning.
087 1400 106 if you have a question for Susie Walsh today. Our 8-month-old red setter crossed with an Alsatian. God, I've never seen one of them before. It's a beautiful, emotional dog. He gets so excited when let out in the morning, and when he sees people, keeps jumping. Ah, here we go. Up on everybody just to say hi. I can't stop him from being so boisterous. Recommendations.
Well, that's an 8-month-old dog, so that's what we call an adolescent or a teenager. So full of life, and I would be loving that dog because that dog is pro-social, so likes people, and that's much better than that dog not going to bite people. So that's a good thing. But what you want to do is teach your dog a behaviour that's counterintuitive to jumping. So lots of reinforcement for sitting, lots of recalls to sits, lots of keeping your dog in the lead if visitors are coming over so they can't jump up and can't be reinforced by the jumping, and lots and lots and lots of rewards for sitting, lying down.
Sorry, rewards, treats.
Rewards, treats, praise,
right.
Petting. So even if they spent a week in their home and the only time they interacted with their dog, if their dog was lying down or their dog was being calm, toss the dog a treat, go over and give the dog a cuddle and change how they feed back information to their dog. So if they're only giving the dog attention or interaction when the dog is being excited and interacting with them, that's what the dog is going to learn. If they flip it and actually start putting, you know, those times when you go, oh, don't disturb him, he's being so good. You know, those times when you say to yourself, do disturb him, go, not when he's fast asleep, but go over, toss him a treat, tell him he's a great dog, encourage that behaviour when he's really calm, and you'll end up with a really, really calm dog.
Okay. My daughter has a dog. They recently moved in with us. We have two dogs, and Shadow has started barking at every little noise. She never barked before now, so how do we train her to stop? It's obvious because she's with our two dogs.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's probably not enough detail to answer that. Have they moved her from a quiet environment to a busy environment and now she can't cope? In which case, they need to make a list, unfortunately, and nobody wants to hear this. They need to make a list of all of the triggers that the dog has and won't work from the one that's the worst. So that could be like the doorbell ringing or somebody passing the house, and start to desensitize the dog to each individual noise. If it's overwhelming and it's too much, and maybe the dog has always lived in a really quiet area and now has moved to an urban apartment, we don't know. That's why I said we need more information.
A little bit more
info. You might need to talk to your vet or get a behaviourist involved who might use some anti-anxiety medication or something similar. Barking is never really a good thing. Sometimes dogs can bark in excitement, but it's usually attention seeking. So barking is usually frustration, discomfort or fear. So people get riled up about it. But actually, if you think about it from the dog's point of view, barking is never really a good communication ever. So you want to go to the root cause of why the dog is barking, usually by what she's saying is possibly anxiety, and you want to remove the anxiety that the dog is feeling from when they're hearing that noise. So the dog is hearing a noise, barking, the noise stops, the dog goes, I feel better. And so then it starts getting worse and worse and worse and worse. It's a tough one.
What's your advice for a listener who their friend has a dog? They think the dog is really well behaved and that they've very good control of the dog. They don't. Try to subtly plant the idea in their head. They're not picking up on it.
Yeah, well, I suppose, but you kind of need to factor in, like, so what you would do is when you come over or visit them, if the dog is jumping on them, just use your body language to move away from the dog and stop interacting with the dog and start going, you know, well, this is unpleasant. If, say, depending on what the dog is doing or what the dog is not doing, if the dog is barking, if the dog is jumping, if the dog is running like a manic lunatic off lead, and just kind of, it's very hard when it's a friend because you don't want to cross those boundaries, but you just want to point out, and you have their best interest or someone has their best interest at heart. You know, and they shouldn't take it personally, but often when it's a pet, people get really upset.
I always think, though, like, because as somebody who's terrified of dogs, myself in this situation, Susie, a lot. And, you know, like, I often think if their dog is doing that in their home with you as the friend, like, what is the dog like in the park?
Exactly.
I'm going to go out for a walk. She must have no control. Can't tell them that. But
I have such a respect for people who have a fear of dogs because it's a genuine fear and it's a very debilitating
fear. Oh, it's terrifying.
Fear.
And it's an awful thing. It's embarrassing.
I think it's one of the worst fears you can possibly have because everybody thinks their dog is friendly and everyone thinks their dog is great. But the person, that is irrelevant to the person who has the fear. And I say, well, you have to, if you have a dog and you meet someone who has a fear of dogs, you have to think of that as them, you having a fear of rats or spiders or whatever, heights or whatever. It's a genuine fear that they can't control and you need to respect that. And it makes no difference if your dog is friendly and if your dog is the nicest dog on the planet. That's irrelevant.
Aren't they all?
That's like saying my rat Bob is the friendliest rat in the world and expecting everyone to love him.
Yeah. Oh, it's happened. 1400 106. Keep them coming in. How can I help my last remaining dog adjust to being the only dog as our other was recently put to sleep?
Oh, it's so sad. This can be really easy for some pets, actually. It depends on, actually, it's a really sad topic, because what I would advise is if you have two dogs and one of them is on their way out, always have the younger dog present when the older dog is put to sleep, if possible, or always let them see the body. This is quite grim conversation. If that's not possible and your dog is suffering, I would stress going to the vet and looking for some short-term anti-anxiety medication, trying to keep routine the same, trying not to necessarily make a big deal of it, continue as much as routine as possible, and maybe try and be a bit more, if your dog is very social, doing a bit more social activities, okay, playing, that kind of thing.
This listener has an adult dog who's six, and they're wondering how they can get it to stop peeing indoors. The dog does know that it's wrong, and I can tell by the look on her face and her body language. Lately, she started to pee on the bed, not her own bed though. I really don't want to have to move her outdoors to sleep in the shed, but if she keeps it up, I'm going to have to. She only does it at night, not during the day. We do bring her before bed to the toilet. Sometimes she does it while we're beside her, so she's not letting us know she wants to go.
So it depends if this dog was ever house trained or not. If this dog was house trained and is not house trained anymore, I would say write to your vet, get a urinalysis, get all that checked out. The dog could be suffering from some urinary incontinence. That can happen, especially with female dogs, and they won't get warning. So what will happen is they could be excited and they lose bladder control, especially in spayed females. So that would be something to rule out if the dog had been house trained before. If the dog has never been house trained, then you start to need to obviously reward the dog for going outside as much as possible and bring them out in frequent trips. That's particularly difficult overnight. Mm. So you need to want to make a really small den or a place that the dog is going to likely sleep through the night, and then go to bed late and get up early. So the time sleeping is really limited. However, I will say that dogs don't feel guilt or remorse. They look like they feel guilty and they look like
they're... She thinks this dog knows what it's doing.
Well, they do not, because they wouldn't do it in front of you. It's just an appeasement gesture to get you to calm down.
Yeah. Can you please give some quick tips on preparing for a new baby with a dog?
Oh, do it as soon as you possibly can. As soon as you know that you are pregnant, start working on making sure that your dog is social with kids. If they're not, I would definitely, for something that this important, get a qualified behaviourist involved. Absolutely. Even talk to somebody. You can do phone consultations really inexpensively. And I would make sure that you start to introduce them to noises and sounds, stuff that you're going to have around the house, changes of routine. If you're going to change where your dog is sleeping, change where your dog's routine during the day. Invest in a dog walker, set up something where is the dog going to be when you go to hospital. And it doesn't really matter, by the way, for a lot of people, when your dog meets your baby. The dog doesn't know the difference between a week-old baby and a 3-week-old baby. So do get someone to mind your dog for a period of time while you adjust to the baby.
Just quick one. I'm a postman. Any tip to quickly calm a barking and aggressive dog?
The best thing I can do for postman is that when you're putting post through the door, start bringing treats with you and post a treat through the door. You'll get a change in behaviour really quickly, because those dogs will be so excited to get the treat through the letterbox and they'll stop barking at you. I've worked with a lot of postmen. They're great. I love postmen. But it can be a really tough job if you've got a dog that doesn't like you on the other side of the door.
Pet behaviourist and trainer Susie Walsh. Susie, we'll have to bring you back again to answer the rest of those questions. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.